Genesis 27, 1-40. Five characters. Four of them human: Isaac, Rebecca, Jacob, and Esau, and of course God. Let me go over the account first of all. I'm sure you know it well, but let me just remind you. Isaac is old, he's going blind, he can no longer see. He calls for Esau, his older son, and he wants to bless him. He sends Esau out to hunt and get food and make that kind of tasty dish which he so likes. And then, having partaken of this meat, he will bless Esau. Rebekah overhears this, and she schemes and orders Jacob, her favorite son, to go and get a goat, and she concocts a plan, a scheme, and does the work. She cooks the meal, she covers Jacob's neck and arms with the goat skins that he, the skins of the goat that he brings from the herd, the flock. And so Jacob goes in, pretends to be Esau, gets the blessing, all at the instigation of Rebekah. Esau comes home, takes the meat to his father, and of course the deception is discovered, and chaos ensues. Five characters: Isaac, Rebekah, Jacob and Esau, and of course God. Now, of the human characters, three of them are godly. One of them is ungodly. But not one of them comes out well. Esau comes out best of all. But the three godly come out very badly indeed, I think, from this passage. I want to deal with these four human characters and then say some words on the character of God as seen here. What we have here, my friend, is a chapter, a passage, that deals with sin. These four, in some way or another, make a heap of sin here between them. The underlying fundamental principle here is the one of blessing. Now, this is beyond and outside altogether our remit today. Number 6 and verse 24, the Aaronic blessing: the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord make his face shine upon you, and so on. Now, I have seen a man, a reformed man, twice do this. Take that blessing, face the congregation, raise his arms, and turn his palms toward the people, toward us, as though he were blessing us with Aaronic blessing. It is an abomination in the days of the New Covenant. No man has the right to bless me. But in these days here, even before the Mosaic Covenant, and certainly under the Mosaic Covenant, the Aaronic priests, and here Isaac is the head of the house, there is this power of priestly blessing. It's not in our remit today, I say again. The nearest we can get to it is to pray to God, may the Lord make his face shine upon us. May the Lord be gracious to us. May the blessing of God the Father, the Son, and the Spirit be with us, and so on. We cannot pronounce it. We cannot convey it. But in these days, Isaac had the power as the head of the family to bestow the blessing upon his sons. Two of these characters try to frustrate God. Two of these characters try to help God by the flesh. In this discourse, I want to speak for a few moments on Isaac. What do we learn of Isaac here? He tried to give the blessing to Esau. And he tried to do it secretly, it seems to me. and is in connection, verses 3 and 4, very definitely, with game, with food, with eating. He desired to put Esau before Jacob. Now, Esau was the elder of the two. He was the firstborn. So, humanly speaking, he had the birthright. But we know that Esau has despised his birthright. We know he sold it for a bowl of stew when he came in from the fields. In earlier chapters, we read of this. Chapter 25, verse 32. What good is the birthright to me? And therefore, Esau, we read in verse 34, despised his birthright. Esau despised his birthright. He had no time for it. Now, did Isaac know this? I can't be sure, but it's a fact. Did he also know that God's blessing was not to be with him? Did he know in 25 and verse 23, when he prayed for his wife that she might bear children, and she inquired of the Lord about the jostling within her womb. Two nations are in your womb, says the Lord, and two peoples from within you will be separated. One people will be stronger than the other, and this is the point, and the older will serve the younger. I cannot say that Isaac definitely knew this, but I should be staggered if he didn't. Putting all these facts together, I think it is right to say that Isaac knew that the blessing was coming to Jacob and not to Esau. And then again, Esau had married Hittites, and this was a source of grief to Isaac and Rebekah. That's the closing verses of the previous chapter, verse 26, chapter 26, verses 34 and 35. For all these reasons, I see Isaac here going against what is the revealed will of God and the declared mind of God. And so I think it is fair to say that Isaac is contending against God here. And he's governed how? By his carnal reason, by his feeling, by sentiment, by his likes. He prefers Esau. Chapter 25 and verse 28. We know that Isaac loved Esau, but Rebekah loved Jacob. And so he goes on his own predilection, his own likes, his own dislikes. He's not going by the revelation of God to him and the clear mind of God. I believe it's fair to say that. And when he finds out, he trembles violently, verse 33, when he finds out he's been deceived. Has he been thwarted? Is his conscience smiting him? Or is he simply angry? Now, what lessons can I draw from this? Brother and sister, I address you as believers. I address myself. Today, you know, there's contention about how we receive guidance, about how we are directed in the Christian life. We know that it is the Spirit who guides us, leads us inwardly, motivating us in the days of the New Covenant, yes. But we also know that he directs us and rules us and governs us by his word. Scripture is plain. It is the word and the Spirit. It is the Spirit and the word. It is not either or. It seems to me that Isaac, in these pre-Old Covenant days, is an example to us of a man who's governed by inward feeling and not by outward revelation. And therefore he stands as a warning to me and to you. Yes, the Spirit guides us. Yes, he writes the law of Christ in our heart. But that law is written in Scripture. We have the heart to love the law, the mind to want to obey the law. And we are moved and, if I can use the word inspired, motivated to obey Christ. in his word, but it is the law of Christ in his word. The complete scripture, as seen through the eyes of Christ and the apostles, the life of Christ, the example of Christ, as recorded in scripture, these are the ways we are guided, spirit and word, word and spirit. So Isaac stands as a warning to me, brother and sister. Unbeliever, he stands as a warning to you. God has spoken to you. He has warned you of impending judgment. He's offered mercy to you in Christ. He's invited you to come. He's commanded you to come. He's begged and pleaded and implored you to come. God has spoken in his word. I believe he's also spoken in providence and by his spirit to you. I hope he's speaking to you through these discourses. And others too. Will you heed him? Will you listen? Will you go against natural sense and trust to Christ in his word and believe and submit to God in scripture? The command, the call, the demand of God is there. I say Isaac speaks today, and the way he speaks to me is this: he is a warning to walk not by sense, but by faith in Jesus Christ as revealed in scripture.